rise to triumph in his name. Thanks be to God, who always causes us to win. Yeah. Thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph in his name. Thanks be to God, thanks be to God. We have overcome. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We have overcome by the power of your name. Jesus, you're the one. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The one who made a way for us to triumph in your name. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh. Thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph in his name. God, who always causes us to win. Yeah. Thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph in his name. Thanks be to God, thanks be to God. We have overcome. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We have overcome by the power of your name.
Be seated. We want to welcome all of our guests. We want to extend a special welcome to Lenny and Kathy Smith, missionaries to Antigua. Amen. Their flight was delayed. Their departure was delayed, and they're leaving here on the 10th and arriving in Antigua, Lord willing, we believe he is, on 9/11. So keep them in your prayers. Amen. And if you're a guest of ours this morning, we're glad that you're here. We love to be in the house of God. We're so glad that we're part of something that's eternal. Amen. Amen. If you're a guest of ours, we want you to know how much we appreciate your presence here. You can go online. If you're a guest of ours online, especially, you can connect with us through the Bitly link there on the screen. You can get a hold of one of these connection cards here in the auditorium from one of our ushers if you haven't got one already. You can get one at the kiosk out in the vestibule. Just a couple of points of information just so that we can let you know that we appreciate you being a part of this meeting, this gathering, in Jesus' name. And if you return that connection card to the kiosk or to the ushers, we have a small gift we'd like to share with you. Also, we'd like to remind everyone of our giving options. This is the time of COVID, so we don't collect the offering anymore. We leave it up to you to find a way to give. Visit cgcmadison.org/giving. You can mail your offering to 5301 Commercial Avenue, or you can text to give 608-719-3883. And we are still raising funds for Move the Mission. Everyone said Move the Mission. It used to be She's for Christ. And what it does is it provides help for almost every major ministry of the United Pentecostal Church International, and specifically, and to a great extent, supports missionaries on the foreign field with vehicles so that they can spread the gospel much more effectively in their area of labor. So please, if you haven't made a commitment, consider giving a commitment to Move the Mission. And actually, I think the 21st is the official ending of the fund drive. So keep that in mind. Friday, September 10th, all church prayer at 7 o'clock. And next Sunday, we have a lot going on. First of all, our new life classes are back. Starting next week, there will be in a 10 a.m. session, there will be life classes 101, 201, and 301. So if you've begun that process and you're ready to go to the next level, make sure you get a hold of the Thompsons, Sister Stephanie or Brother Ben, who we will be praying for in just a moment because they're at home with COVID and they are struggling with it. So keep that in mind. But when you get the opportunity, you can even call here at the church, and we'll make sure that information gets passed along. If you want to volunteer at Calvary Gospel Church in ministry, this is one of the avenues. This is the avenue that prepares you and qualifies you for different areas of ministry opportunities. You just graduated from high school and you've been part of the youth program, then you are already qualified through 101, and you're encouraged to join in the 201 class as your next step in your spiritual growth. Please consider all of this, and if you've been baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost and you're a member of Calvary Gospel Church or want to be a member of Calvary Gospel Church and you haven't yet gone through the New Life classes, we want to encourage you to do that as part of your growth in Jesus Christ. Amen. Commercial over. Next Sunday, baby dedication at the 11 o'clock service. Amen. Today's the day to sign up. Praise God. Then I would ask you to stand. To register for the baby dedication service, you see the QR code, or you can go to HTTP, bit.ly, CGC Baby Dedication Sunday. All that information is there. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. Let's remember the Smiths as they prepare to head south again. Let's remember Pastor Roy and Sister Lois and our sectional presbyter and his family. They're traveling with them. Let's also remember the Thompsons. They're at home struggling with COVID, and they're not doing well today. They've sent in a prayer request asking for us to pray. Let's believe for a move of God. Let's believe for a work of God in their lives. Let's pray right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you, God, for the blessing of fellowship and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Please, God, use this prayer, use this body, use us, oh God, to pray in faith, oh God, for this Thompson family, Lord, for healing and for deliverance from this virus, from this condition. In Jesus' name, let your Holy Spirit overflow them. Let your blood cover them. Let your touch be upon them, oh God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bind and rebuke this virus and its effects, and we release virtue, not by our own strength, but by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. We speak virtue into their bodies that they may be strengthened and recover. Even from this moment forward, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for your blessing upon the Smiths as they prepare to go. Let your angels go before them and behind them and on every side, that they may be protected as they prepare and as they travel and as they return to their field of labor. We pray, O God, for our pastor and our presbyter and their loved ones, O God, that are traveling even this day, O God, that the blessing of God would be upon them, that they would find rest and peace and strength in the Holy Ghost, that the mind of Christ would be in them and the presence of God would go with them. We ask for your blessing upon the remainder of this service. Touch Brother Ben Smith, I pray, with your power and anointing, that the power of God may flow from his ministry, that the Word of God may be manifest in this service, that each of us will be able to hear your voice and know your touch. Let your name be glorified in all of this, and we give you the praise, we give you the glory. And everyone said, in Jesus' name.
There is no fear, 'cause I believe. There is no doubt, 'cause I have seen your faithfulness. My fortress, over and over.
I have a over and over. All things are possible in you.
Glory, I run inside the throne. Let's do that for Jesus right now all over the house. God, you are worthy. Father, there's nobody else like you. There's nobody else beside you. You do all things well, God. There's a drawing of the Spirit in the atmosphere moving all over this house. God is stirring and asking if the people of the living God will respond. God, we are your willing servants, God. Have your way in our life, Almighty Father. Have your way in this service. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and the praise, for we are worthy of none of it. You are our Redeemer, our Webmaker, our friend. You're as close as a mention of your name, Almighty God. Have your way in this service this morning. Have your way. What a mighty, beautiful, wonderful, awesome presence of intercession is in this house. Come on, I got a message, but I don't need to speak to you. Let that Spirit move you this morning. Come on, we're apostolic in this house. If God's moving to you, you won't bother me a bit. You just let that out in tongues, in intercession. As God bursts some things in the supernatural, both in this building and online. Addictions, healing, whatever you have need of, He is able. By His stripes we are healed. Captives being set free. Bondage being broken. Come on, folks, that's what it sounds like at the throne room. That's what it sounds like at the throne room. A spirit of travail. A spirit of intercession. A moving of the Holy Ghost. A leading of the Spirit. A drawing of the supernatural. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Yes. Time, the throne room. Come on, let's worship as they sing this one more time. God's not done yet. If you need healing, if you need miracles, if you need faith, both here in the building and online, lift your hands. Begin to call upon that name of Jesus.
Before you.
Yes, God, before you. Go into His throne room right now. Dwell in His presence right now. Don't stop with just a touch. Get all you have need of. Begin to claim those unsaved loved ones, those unsaved co-workers. Come on, begin to speak the word of faith for healing, for deliverance. That's it. You feel Jesus ministering to you right now. I'm going to move into the word, but understand it doesn't bother me a bit if you feel God moving on you. You go into intercession. You go into speaking in tongues. That's what it's supposed to be like in an apostolic atmosphere. That's what they did in the book of Acts. I appreciate our outlines and our programs and everything we have. But when God shows up to move, we step out of the way and we let Him move. Because we're just servants. We're called to be His bride. He's as close as the mention of His name. Yes, He's our friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But when He shows up to minister, we let Him have liberty. We let Him have preeminence. So as I move forth into the word this morning, again, it won't bother me if you go into intercession. If you want to stand or sit, that's fine. But get what you have need of today. I was talking with Pastor on Wednesday. And while I talked with him, I was sharing that God gave me a sure word of prophecy for this church this morning. And we are going over some of the things that God shared. And what God shared there that we were talking about is that spirit's in the house this morning. And in case you're new, this is your first time in the building or online. When I say intercession or the moving of the Spirit, all I'm talking about is the Spirit of Almighty Living God, the Savior, the Creator, the Redeemer. He's moving amongst His people. He's drawing. The Bible says we cannot come unless He first draws. And God is drawing people all over this city, this state, and this nation right now, this very hour, to respond. Amen. We're celebrating Labor Day weekend. And I believe there's some labor, some travail that's happening right now in the throne room as souls are being drawn into the kingdom of God. You can be seated if you want. You can stay standing. I know she's praying with somebody right now, but I want to take a minute before we go any further. This beautiful lady right here walking with this pretty baby. That's my wife. And in 12 days, we'll be celebrating 10 years of marriage. And I love her. I appreciate all her hard work, and I wouldn't have wanted to do everything that God's called us to do with anyone else. But I don't know about you today, but I feel good. November 2017, I was on a hospital bed, and they said I wasn't set to live through Christmas. But here I am by God's grace and mercy. I know some of you that have been here redundant. I say that almost every time I preach. And you know why? I'm just rubbing it in the enemy's face. That God is faithful. No matter what tries to pull us down, attack us, discourage us, distract us, God is faithful. He's faithful. You may not always feel that in the storm, but He's faithful. It may not always look like that in your situation, but He's faithful. Understand, life's not fair, but God is always just. Amen. I am going to move into the word this morning. But before we do, I just want to say, I know pastor's traveling. I put myself under the submission of Pastor Seidel, all the leadership team, Elder Kasky. If I say anything that's undoctrinally correct from this pulpit this morning, you come up here, take the mic, and sit me down. Amen. Can we agree to that? That's how submission works. You want God to flow in you. I'm under a man. I'm not here as the man. God's the man, and we are all here serving together. And I put myself in submission. I'm going to be respectful of time this morning. So if you want part two, I encourage you to go to YouTube. Look up POA. That's the Pentecostal of Alexandria. A Wednesday and a half ago, Pastor Gentry Mangan and Sister Vesta Mangan did a wonderful just sit-down Bible study online about the gifts of the Spirit. They were going through the book of Joshua. That's kind of the connection, which I'm not even going to have time to touch base on today. So if you want the part two to fill in a little bit more of what I'm talking about, I encourage you sometime this week to go there and do that. And before, one last thing. How many know that God is awesome? How many know that God is the end from the beginning and everything in between? So on when, now our praise and worship team did a wonderful job ushering us into the presence of God. But I'm going to put a disclaimer in here. The songs they choose, they pray about, and they choose several weeks before they ever get to this service. And on Wednesday night, I was standing right over here worshiping and praying. And I said, God, before you've given me a word, and before I get up to speak that word, I feel in the spirit we need to sing what you're famous for and Throne Room, and in that order. I had no idea what they were singing this morning. We were in our pre-service meeting. I heard that that's what they were singing. I went up to Brother Jeffrey, who was our service praise and worship service leader this morning, and I said, thank you for being sensitive to God. Even weeks before the service, he was listening to what God wanted, and that's what me and Jesus were having to talk to at the altar. So I want to give recognition to all our praise and worship team, because we're in this together. This isn't a one-man show. There's no, as my father always says, there's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. We're all in this together. I give honor to my parents. I thank them for coming. I thank them for all their hard work over the time that they've been here in between preaching and traveling. They've tirelessly and faithfully helped my wife and myself remodel our house, and they've shaved years off my work schedule and my honey-do list, so I very much appreciate that. I mean, if you have your Bibles, let's go into the Word this morning. Luke chapter 5 and verse 4. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. Somebody catch that now, into the deep, and let down your nets for a draw. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Understand, and nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Church, he's tired. They've been working all night. They've caught nothing. He's weary. He just wants to go home and crawl into a bed and just call it a day and say, you know what, I didn't catch anything, but I'm just going home and I'm sleeping. I'm tired. It's okay to be weary. We've all been weary at times in our walk with God. But there's time that even when we're weary, God says, will you cast down the nets again? Will you do it again? Verse 6, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. And notice, and their nets, or in their net, break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fish that they had taken. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. He was a fisherman. That was his profession, his trade. He knew fishing. But God said, you're not going to go and fishing for fish in the ocean or the sea anymore. But you're now going to fish for men. God's given us all the ministry of reconciliation. He's called us all to be fishers of men. Verse 11, and they brought their ships to land. They forsook all and followed him. They didn't have a 20-point why, Pastor Seidel. They said, he's calling and I'm going. They brought their ships out of the water, brought them to land and said, we're done. They forsook all and followed Jesus. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy who, seeing Jesus, fell down on his face. Remember what it says, we bow down, we sang about it today. He fell down on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, if it's your will, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Understand, it's against the culture and it's in opposition of the law of that day for a leper to be near people and for Jesus to come near that leper. But he had a need. Anyone have a need in the house this morning? And despite what opposition, despite what was opposing the law, he said, God, I need you. If you will. Not if I will, because he already willed it. But if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. It's impossible for Jesus to resist a genuine and hungry person for truth. Verse 13, and he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. He didn't have to wait. Because he came genuine, he came hungry, and he didn't care what people said or what might happen. Understand, if he came near people, he was supposed to be stoned by that day. By the rule of that law, he was supposed to lose his life. They were supposed to take stones and stone him. He put his very life in jeopardy to come to the throne room, to come to the feet of Jesus, to say, God, I have a need. And without you, I'm going to die. And by coming to you, I may die, but I'm going to throw myself at your feet and ask for your mercy. Some of us need to do that this morning, amen? And I believe many of us already have in worship. But understand, we live in the last days. So in Matthew 24 and verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed to yourself, that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. If you just turn on the news today, you'll hear about wars and rumors of wars and what went right and what went wrong. And it could trouble you. God said, be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquake in diverse places. Understand, it says nation against nation. If you look in the Greek, that's ethnos, or meaning ethnicity versus ethnicity. We've never lived in a day where there's been more racial division. Now, I know we don't have open slavery in our nation, but I'll tell you what, there is so much open hostility on the news waves and the airwaves and in the schools and the market and anywhere you go, there's such a racial tension in our day. Amen, somebody. I know it's not culturally, politically correct to talk about it, but that's the day we live in. It was prophesied in the Word. But he said, we're not to be troubled. Verse 8, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Kind of sounds like today, doesn't it? So much hatred, and they now classify this and that as hate speech, and we're filled with all these crazy laws and different things. Hey, you can say amen, don't worry. If anyone gets in trouble, I'm the one. I'm the one with the mic. Amen won't send you to jail. Amen. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Now notice this, listen to verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I want to read that again. I want you to read it with me. And because iniquity shall abound, because sin, because wickedness, because depravity and all this stuff, because it's abounding in our world. It is. We live in a wicked generation. Because it's abounding, the love of many shall wax cold. God help us if we ever let our love for the lost wax cold. Just because we live in a sinful generation and a sinful world does not mean we can stop loving the lost. Never once did God stop reaching for the lost. And we have a prophecy that God has given His church of a 20,000 soul harvest. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But we can't stop loving the lost, no matter the cost. I still have to find them and reach them and teach them and pray for them. And just simply love them. Our world is in desperate need of love. They're filled with hatred and backbiting. Our world wants to fight against itself and destroy itself. But understand, God draws all men to Himself. He will restore, renew, and repair all those that are weary and burdened and overwhelmed. God says, come, and I will give you rest. Church, if we don't have rest in this generation, it's because we're not looking to Him. I know that's hard to swallow. But the reason we don't have rest, or some may not have rest, is we're not looking to Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. Understand, when I was diagnosed with a massive brain tumor, supposed to be dead and all these things, three brain surgeries later, God gave us peace through every situation and decision that had to be made. That doesn't make me perfect. I still struggle. There's still days when I go, God, why is this happening? Deliver me, Jesus. I was talking to someone the other day, and we were just saying, you know, it'd be a great day just for the rapture to happen just right now. Just and forget all these problems, these challenges. Just right now, God's a perfect time. But there's still more people that need to be saved. There's still many more that need to hear the gospel. Verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be, not could be, might be, or would be, but they shall be saved. I'm going to do something I've never done before. But if you've been in this gospel, this truth, this one God apostolic message preaching in Jesus' name or baptism in Jesus' name, infilling of the Holy Ghost for more than 25 years, I'd like you to stand. If you believe this message for more than 25 years, stand. Can we give these elders, these pillars, a hand? those that shall endure. Look around you. If you're new here, look around you. Look around you. These are people you need to look to get advice, to get counsel. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice, your dedication. Thank you for enduring. Because I know if you were up here, there would be many stories you could share about endurance. But those that endure to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Understand, we have to reach everyone in the world, not just those that look like us. Now, I know this is a multicultural church, and this is a very diverse church, and we have All Nations Sunday, and we have all different nations represented. But I'm just preaching to the church some prophecy from God, okay? Can you go with me, if you will, please? I had the privilege to grow up in this church. Remember, elders, I said I'm submitted to you, so if I say anything, you come get this mic. But growing up, and this is not against anybody. I'm just going to say something, so just hear me out, and it will make sense in the end. But growing up, I always heard it taught that Cornelius was the first Gentile that the Holy Ghost, the new birth experience, was poured out upon. And we would shout about that. You know why? Because Cornelius was, he was a Roman. He was part of the Italian, the Roman Empire from Italy. And, you know, that fits our European heritage. That's palatable. But sadly, it's not the truth. Now, yes, it was true that he responded. But when you read the Bible, Cornelius was not the first Gentile to receive. You read back in Acts chapter 8, and the Samaritans, which were half Jew and half Gentile, they received the word of God. But then you read on after the Samaritans, he went to the Ethiopian eunuch. He definitely was not a Jew. He was a black man from northern Africa. And he stopped the chariot right there. He responded to the glorious gospel. He was baptized in the precious name of Jesus. I personally believe it. You got real quiet on me all of a sudden. I personally believe the reason we've seen the largest outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the nation of Ethiopia, with over 120,000 believers being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost at one time, can be traced back all the way to the book of Acts chapter 8. When an Ethiopian eunuch was riding his chariot, and Philip ran up and said, "Hey, you understand what you're reading in that book?" And he says, "How can I understand unless someone loves me enough to take the time to expound the word of God to me?" And this black man from northern Africa, and I know it's not racially, I spent 21 years overseas in a predominantly black country, okay, where I was the minority. So I forgive me if I'm not politically correct. See me after service. I spent many years overseas. I love everybody. But he responded to the gospel. He stopped his chariot. They expounded the book of Isaiah to him more perfectly. He said, "Here's water. What does hinder me? Let's get baptized. Let me experience the next step." He took that back to the queen he served, the Candace. And the Bible doesn't tell us in black and white what really happened back in Ethiopia. But I believe it was the birthing of some seeds being planted for some men and women that were going to be caught later on in life. Because the Bible says some plant and some water. But God gives increase. Understand, remember I said I spent many years growing up overseas. I had the privilege of serving with my parents 14 years as a MK or a missionary kid, and 7 years with my wife and myself overseas. And we got to do lots of awesome things. I loved it. I enjoyed it. I still would enjoy doing it, but this is where God needs me and has me. But one time while we were there, we had a young man. He since passed away due to a tragic thing, but his name was Alex. Alex and myself would go on Saturday outreach, and well, we'd all have church outreach on Saturday, but that particular Saturday, Alex and myself happened to be joined together. And Antigua, it's a small island. It's only 110 square miles. It's really 108, but they classify it as 110. It's a really small island, smaller than some of our counties. And so when something happens, everybody knows about it. And we knew all the drug communities, but they were hungry. And so we went there one day, and it's a place called Hilltop in Antigua. It's over in Potter's Village. And it's where a lot of their drug lords come, and they make their plans. They distribute the drugs, and they go about their business. I remember there was a few of the other outreach teams, and we wore our colors. You know, every gang has a color. And living for God, we had our colors, so we'd walk through, and they know we had our bright outreach shirts on. Said, "Do you need a miracle?" And we had people all over the village of Potter's that day teaching Bible studies, talking to people, loving people, ministering, praying. But me and Alex, we felt boldness.
We felt to be zealous. You know, sometimes that happens to you, and then life sets in. So we walked up to this hilltop, up to this place where all the drug lords are, and we were all excited. One of us was going to teach them a Bible study, and then we got closer, and life sat in. I'm like, do we really want to go tell all these drug lords about Jesus? I mean, they got guns everywhere, this is their operation. Do we really want to walk in there? And so I looked at him. I said, Alex, let's just keep walking. God will lead us. And I got from about here to where Pastor Seidel is, and we had our back. We had passed them. And one of the bodyguards and one of the lords said, hey, white boy, you want to buy some drugs? I didn't approach them. They approached me. That was my cue. So I turned on him and I said, why do I want your stupid drugs? They won't satisfy. They won't fill. I said, what you need is the power of the name of Jesus. I'll tell you what, they didn't like that, Pastor Seidel. He went to reach for his gun. But I saw the drug, I was just in the Holy Ghost, I was preaching. All glory to God, it wasn't me. I saw the drug lord grab his arm and say some things that I won't repeat here, or probably ever. Bottom line is he told him to be quiet, sit down, and keep his mouth shut. That's what he told him, in a nice way. And we began to preach to him about the Book of Acts experience, about baptism in Jesus' name, about the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Because they're a soul, Pastor, they're a soul. And they need Jesus. How many souls do we walk by every day that need Jesus? You know, when I was on there doing outreach, I remember there was one Saturday I met a pastor of another denomination. And I was talking to him and his wife, and they were just very standoffish, very resistant. But I was pleading with them because while I was pleading with him, in my mind's eye, I saw a vision of them crying out from hell. Why didn't we listen? Why didn't we respond? And so I couldn't get up and leave until I was asked to, because I saw the outcome. You know, I understand we've heard preached we all need a vision of heaven. That's true. But sometimes we need a good baptism of what hell looks like. Because without truth, that's where our world's going. Without someone to love them, that's where they're going. And understand, God will lead you and guide you. And you still with me? I'm over halfway done. I understand time. But I want to share a few stories, build our faith. I remember the very first Saturday we went out. Actually, I got encouraged and challenged and invigorated to do outreach here in the state of Wisconsin. I went to an outreach seminar in Neenah, Wisconsin with Tim Downs, and he challenged me, and we went back to Antigua, and I told it to my father and mother, we got to do this. And so they looked at me and said, okay, well, you went there, so you lead it up. You go ahead. And then they ended up having to leave for deputation, and we were there, and it was our first Saturday out, and there was a handful of us, and we didn't break up in groups of two then because we didn't know, so we just had two big groups. There was one group of three and one group of four. That was our first group, seven people. That's what we had the first time in outreach. And I remember there was three of us. We went down this one road and saw we were talking to people, and then saw this guy on his bike. And we said, hey, come here. And he came here, and we began to talk to him. Long story short, he wasn't even supposed to be on that road, and neither were we, but God led us together. He heard the gospel. He said, I need that. I just got out of prison, and I need my sins washed away. And he came back to the church, and he began to cry and bawl and weep under the presence of God, much like what we were feeling here today. He began to be moved on, and we took him down to the waters of baptism and washed his sins away. And I'm going to be very transparent to you. We took him back home. He got back on his, went back on his way. Never saw him again. I know you want me to hear you that he's now a pastor preaching the gospel. But it doesn't always play out that way. Never saw him again. But what I did is I planted a seed. Now he has to give an account what he did with truth. But if I don't give them truth, I have to give an account for what I did with the truth that was given to me. And you know what? Sometimes it leads us to places where we may not want to be. I remember there was one week, and so in Antigua, they have the several drug lords. I talked about that, and they have what they're called turf houses. That's where if you wear the colors of the gang, you can go there. There's cheap, low-level gambling. There's some prostitutes that are there for the colors. And if you represent that gang, that's your place to go and blow off steam. And I remember we were in one village. Oh, what is it? What is that, Dad, over on the other side of the dock, off the right side of the port there? Not Grace Farms. Down where Dylan and Shamari and them used to live, down in that area. Remember what that village is called? Yeah, that one. Thank you. If it comes to you, shout it out. So we were down there, and we were going by one of the turf houses where they had some prostitutes and some gambling. And there was four of us that day, our gentleman in our church who plays our keyboard in charge of our music, Brother Eugene and Brother Dylan and my wife and myself. And we walked in there. And we said, we're going to teach a Bible study. We said, stop gambling. We're here on the church, and we're going to teach a Bible study. So Big Mama, she ran the place. She went over to the card table. She grabbed up the card. She said, now you sit here. You be quiet. They're teaching a Bible study. You listen. And we were the afternoon's entertainment. We were going to teach them a Bible study. So we did. We taught them a Bible study. We began to pray for them. Dylan, one of the young men there that was delivered from a gang, he said, all of them, hey, we're going to hold hands, bow our heads, and close our eyes. Now, if you've been in a gang, you don't bow your head, close your eyes, and hold another man's hand. Someone's about to get shot or something crazy's going on in here. But when you're under the power of the Holy Ghost and you're listening to the leading of the Spirit, I saw as gang members and prostitutes gathered in a circle. They began to bow their head and close their eyes, and we held their hand and we prayed under the authority of the Holy Ghost. Folks, there's people all around us that need Jesus. Back in July, God called my wife and family, myself, to go over to Iowa and preach. We had a mighty move of God. But the Saturday morning before we preached on that Sunday, because God said, you be there early. We met up with a friend and we went to Denny's and we met a waitress there. And we were able to pray for her right there in the restaurant and get her connected, because people are everywhere. See, it's not just overseas. It can be sometimes right here in America. The people you go to. Now, that's still another state, so I'll bring it one step closer. God blessed us with a house in Janesville, and I'm thankful for my job. I'm not complaining, but I do work a lot, so I'm always traveling. But my wife, she has the privilege of only having to work part-time and be home. So she's there in Janesville, and they have a thrift store there. And she's able to go there and talk about Jesus and volunteer one Saturday a month to help them, just to be a light and a witness. It costs you something to win people. And understand, God gave them such a harvest, and net broke, and there were some that got away. Or my wife recently, some of you may know of Basic Co-op in Janesville. We go there from time to time. And just the other day, my wife was there and struck up a conversation with one of the employees. Before she knew it, she had a whole group of people around her just listening as they were talking. God has hungry people all over around you. I'm going to move quickly. I know my time's almost done. John chapter 21. Because understand, when God first called the disciples, he said, cast down the net. What happened? Those nets broke. They had so many fish, they sunk the ship, or were sinking the ship, but yet they still had a lot that got away. But here, Jesus was crucified. And then he rose again from the grave, and he's showing himself to the disciples. They're weary, they're discouraged, they're out fishing again. John chapter 1, we pick up in closing. Praise and worship team, I'm almost there if you want to start getting ready. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shores, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. And now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far from land, and as it were 200 cubits, dragging the nets with fishes. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw fish, or a fire of coals in there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes. And it tells us how many great fishes, 153 great fishes. And there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Not one of them asked who he was. Why? Because it said they knew that he was the Lord. Now, why is this important? If you go in Jewish culture, every word has numerical significance. They said there was 153 fish there. And in the Hebrew numerical value system, 153 means Anai Elohim, which it means I am God. God will speak to us through situations in our life. But it's up to us to respond. It's up to us to be sensitive. Then he goes on to ask Peter, will you feed my, do you love me? And he says, of course, Lord, I love you. And he says, well, then feed my lambs. And he says, do you love me? A second time, he says, sure, I love you. Feed my sheep. And the third time, Peter was grieved because he keeps asking him, do you love me? And he says, feed my rams. God has a process and a plan to feed this world with the glorious gospel of truth. We are in the midst of getting ready and in the midst already of seeing the greatest worldwide harvest and revival that we've ever seen. God has aligned everything perfectly to make this world hungry and desperate for truth. But it takes the people of Jesus, like we see in Acts chapter 4 and verse 10. They said, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, going down to verse 12, that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We can't be ashamed of the name. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Folks, I'm nobody special. I'm just a willing servant. Whatever, you can put your title in here, which you may be ignorant, you may be unlearned. But after spending 3.5 years at the feet of Jesus and Him ministering to them, those nets that He told them first to cast down that broke, Pastor Seidel, the second time those nets didn't break. Now I want you to put my title up there. I'm ending my message with my title. I spoke to you this morning about nets that won't break. We are in a day when God is giving the church nets that will not break. Hear me now. I get ready to sing. I know you're up here standing. I wanted to give them hope. Okay? I'm closing. You may say, how could God ever use me? Why would God ever use me? Because you made yourself available. That's all God's asking. God will do the impossible with someone else. Just be there, even if you don't want to be there. Look at Jonah. He didn't want to be in Nineveh. He fought, went on a ship the other way. God did finally get him there. He did finally go there. But how do you picture this? Jonah goes to Nineveh. He doesn't want one soul saved. He doesn't want revival. I don't know about you. I want to see souls saved. I want revival. Jonah didn't want that. He's going through the city probably with a smile on his face. You're going to die in a few days, and I'm glad about it. It's the truth. You read the book. It's in there. But the word of God, those nets went forth, Pastor Sidon, and a people that He wanted them to die. God reached forth those nets, and they saw well over 100,000 soul revivals. From a man that didn't even want one person to be saved, that tried to go the other way. What can and what will God do with this church in these last days? It's not a matter of if. It's not even a matter of how. It's just a matter of when. And we've heard the word of God go forth over the last few weeks from our pastor and those that pastor has asked to preach of a stirring. And I come before you this morning with a word of prophecy. Cast down your nets again, and they will not break. I'm jumping to the annex, 2 and 46. They continued steadfastly with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Stand with me if you will. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We're going to pray in just a minute. I wanted to be respectful of your time. I don't have time to touch on it this morning. But I'm going to give you these things. This is your homework assignment. I brought the prophecy. Now you have a homework assignment. In prayer and asking God, what is the hindrance of the church today? And God shared two things with me. Two of the greatest hindrances of our apostolic church right now in this hour. That's trying to break our nets so we find ourselves being judgmental. Well, they don't look like us. They don't act like us. They don't think like us. Well, they've been in the church how long? Surely they should. Come on, somebody. I know it's quiet. We're about to go in prayer, and there's going to be a spirit of God that sweeps through this house. But I'm telling you, if you get over the judgment, if you'll touch that leper, if you'll go in opposition, I'm not telling you to break the laws, but I'm telling you to obey His law. And God reached down to a leper and saw him cleansed. God over and over reached down. And the second thing that I'm asking you to pray against is a spirit of emotional fear. We live in trying days. Understand, when the disciples, God says he compelled them to get in the boat and go to the other side, and they saw the storm, the waves were bigger than the boat, they were all afraid, we're all going to die, because you know that's how fear works. These were fishermen, they've been in storms before, but somebody, I'm not pointing fingers, I'm not calling the tax collector or any of the other ones, someone, unnamed, said we're all going to die. And before long, every one of those 12 disciples said we're all going to die. And they were terrified in fear. And God rebuked them for lack of faith and said, peace, be still. He rebuked the wind and waves. I'm asking you, when God comes, will there be faith found in the earth? When God comes, will there be faith to say, even in the face of fear, I'm not going to have fear. Because His perfect love casts out all fear. Come to the altar, if you will, this morning. They're going to begin to sing, but I want to give you one challenge I recently received from missionary Charles Robinette. He was at a conference a little bit ago, and he was talking about the end time revival that God had spoke to him. A billion soul revival, and I believe it. Every stadium, over 500 stadiums that seat 40,000, God showed them in a vision all those stadiums full of people. And we're going to be a part of that, Calvary. We're going to be a part of that. But here's what he said. He challenged everyone at that conference. He said, I want you to become bold. He said, I want you to become apostolic. He said, when you're driving through your city and you're going by those denominational churches, he said, I want you to prophesy. He said, I want you to speak to that church in prophecy and say, I speak in the name of Jesus, you will preach the Acts 2:38 message. I speak in the name of Jesus, you will baptize in the name of Jesus and speak in other tongues. Love this one God message. And in closing, here's your three homework assignments. Let's pray about being judgmental. Let's pray that this fear be cast out. And can we be challenged to drive through our cities, around our workplaces, and speak a word of prophecy? Come on, we have the name of Jesus. Greater is He that is in us than he that's in the world. Can we drive around the capital, Sister Martha, you've been faithful praying, but now I want you to go back and speak it in faith. In the name of Jesus, come on, I feel it right now. In the name of Jesus, I bind every spirit of fear. I loose the spirit of intercession under the authority of the word of God and the power of the name of Jesus. Be loosed right now in the name of Jesus. Capital state of Wisconsin, be loosed right now for end time revival. Come on, that's it. Walk into a spirit of intercession right now. Come on, nation of America. I loose you in the name of Jesus to have end time revival. Come on, speak it right now. God, I speak over my unsaved loved ones. I loose revival. I loose healing. I loose awakening in the name of Jesus. God, I speak over my workplace right now in the name of Jesus. I speak faith right now and I loose healing. I loose salvation over my coworkers. They shall be saved in the name of Jesus. Devil, you've had them long enough. It's time that Jesus have a turn. Come on, that's it. That heartbeat right now. Come on, thank God for that word. Our nets aren't going to break this time, church. They're not getting through this time. Those thousands of Bible studies that have been taught, they're going to see fruition. Come on, whether you're in the building or you're online, let the Spirit move. Gather your family together in prayer. Lift up the name of Jesus. Come on, there's a rain of the Spirit in this end time hour. It's being poured out all over our city. I feel it right now falling on Madison and Dane County and the state of Wisconsin, America and the world.
Come on, claim your city right now, Jesus. Let the rain of your presence fall on my city. You put the name there. I live in Janesville, so God, let the spirit of your presence reign in Janesville right now. From our mayor and our city councilmen, our police chief, our firefighters, our paramedics, our school teachers, our public servants, God, let your spirit. That's it. Let the heartbeat of heaven be the holy.
Feel the rains of your love. Feel the winds of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear. Feel the rains of your love. Feel the winds of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear.
If you're feeling the name of a loved one or a job or a city or a coworker, don't be ashamed. The law of confession, bring it before Jesus right now in faith. God, I don't know how, but I know you're able. God, I don't know how, but you're faithful. God, I don't know where and when, but you're just. And right now I claim them in the name of Jesus. Come on, that's it. Speak in faith. Prophesy over your city, over your unsaved loved ones. God, right now in the name of Jesus, I claim my unsaved family. Come on, let them put a mind, a name, a picture in your mind and heart right now. Thank you for joining us today for service and worshiping with us both in person and online. We serve an awesome God. Remember, we have service on Wednesday. If you're praying, you can keep praying. Remember the prayer meeting on Friday. I want to encourage you, there's never been a time like this time to rise up in the gifts of the Spirit, to be used of God. We often talk about hell fighting us harder than ever before. But you know what? God is pouring out gifts on this generation, both young and old, that He's never poured out before. The latter rain and the former rain shall reign together. So go forth in Jesus' name today. Be used. Let God lead you. Whether it be in the restaurant, the store, or the gas station, let God lead you. Let God use you like never before. God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us. See you on Wednesday.